New Testament reading is taken from the second book of Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 2, starting at verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what was going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is the word of the Lord.
I always like to say to one or two visitors here, we busy working verse by verse through 2 Peter in the mornings, and you've caught us right in the middle. We started this at the beginning of January, and in chapter 1, the most amazing encouragement for God's people. And we focused on some of the magnificent things that God in His grace has done for us in Jesus, and how we respond to that. But as we come into chapter 2, we are dealing with one of the most terrible chapters in the Bible. We love the Bible, we love every word, but there are those passages that just bring us right back to reality. And the one we're going to focus on this morning is one such passage. So let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Lord, I pray that each one of us here today can say, it is well with my soul. Lord, it's not of great consequence how much money's in the bank or what we are doing here and there, but it is of eternal value to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Please be with us now as we learn together from your precious word, and our longing, Lord, is that as we go home, it will be not only with a greater love for Jesus, but a deeper love for those who are without Christ, that we may reach them before it's too late. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, dear friends, just for a moment, let me remind you that when we began the 2 Peter, we reminded you of the one overriding concern of Peter. Everything he's writing in this book, every word, every line, every chapter, has got one great objective. And that is this: to encourage God's people who are going through very, very difficult times. There's no doubt about it. That's the purpose. And so, as we have been going Sunday by Sunday, we have seen it. These early Christians were faced with horrendous problems, with massive difficulties and trials. But their greatest danger would always come that they may be gripped with a sense of despair because of a feeling of utter hopelessness or futility. This is perhaps the greatest danger of all that affects us in our present day, living as we do in a modern world which in so many ways is bringing upon you and I massive, massive temptations, as we will see in a moment. And the temptation is for you and I to give in to despair, perhaps even a sense of hopelessness. Now, Peter doesn't want that. So he's writing this magnificent letter to help us. Now, what he's going to say this morning, friends, And it's a passage I would think that many of you here haven't read for a long time. He's going to be saying this to us this morning. For those who are unsaved, or unregenerate, if you want to use the big word, they've never yet surrendered their life to Christ, they are going to experience the wrath of a holy God. And we need to hear that, my dear friends. There's an enormous amount of books and literature and sermons and talks that focus on the love of God. And of course He's a loving God. We're saying, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and I wonder how He could love me. I'm the first Him, the second Him. Oh, the mercy of God. We know that. But there's not enough remembrance of the other side of God's character. That is His holiness. He hates sin, and He will punish disobedience. That's what I'm going to show you this morning. But with that, He will always rescue His own people. And how is Peter going to do that for us? He's going to use us, or show us, three illustrations. So we're going to have a look at this morning at what happened to some of the angels. Then we're going to have a look at what happened during the time of the flood and with Noah. And then thirdly, we'll have a look at what had happened in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to Lot, the angels. Then we're going to have a look at Noah, and then we'll have a look at Lot. And the same lesson is clear, that God knows how to deliver His own people, but He will punish the unregenerate. It's not an easy passage to preach. It may not be an easy passage to listen to. But won't you and I come to this word, and at the end, just go home with a greater sense of the tremendously important issues, friends, that we share with you together. All right? So let's come then, first of all, to the angels. Now, Elaine very kindly read that to us. See verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but He sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. Now, there's the first illustration. What is Peter referring to here? Now, some of you may remember that he's taking us all the way back to an incident that happened in the book of Genesis. And I'll read it to you. And to chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. This is what happened. Listen carefully. When men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They married any of them that they chose. Then the Lord said, My Spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and afterwards when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that He had made man on the earth. His heart was filled with pain. And the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. My dear brothers and sisters, that's a frightening passage. It was so severe. It was of such a magnitude that once this happened, once this event occurred, God made this huge decision when he said, I am grieved that I've made man. And this caused God to send the flood. So we ask ourselves, what did the angels do? They're a special, special, special creation of God. They are unique, different to you and to me, and there they were in heaven. And what they did was that they rebelled. They rebelled against God, and they did not keep their first estate. Angels have a high and a peculiar dignity, a particular domain that is given to them by God. They're rulers above, a place of close association with God. And what did they do? They rebelled. They were not happy with what God had placed in them. They rejected that, especially Lucifer wanted to be the number one. Not only that, but they left their habitation. And what happened was that having fallen, these angels came in a form of demon possession and took possession of people. Sexual intercourse took place in the world, and a special form of people were born. It was dreadful. It was horrible. It was degrading. It was horrendous. So they didn't only not keep their first estate, but they have now left their habitation, and thirdly, they give themselves over completely and utterly to fornication. The angels. This is what the angels did. So what did God do? God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but he sent them into hell. So the Bible says, it's exactly what happened. God did not spare them. Just because of their high and lofty position, just because of their enormous privileges, because of their unique creation, it didn't matter at all. A holy, righteous God took these fallen angels and sent them into hell. Now, when you go back to Peter, he says, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but he sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. You see, my friends, we live in a world that you very seldom ever hear about hell. It is a concern to me. You go to many churches and you never hear about hell. But Jesus didn't do it. It's not true for Jesus. Jesus spoke more about hell than about heaven. It's a very, very serious and an awesome thing to consider. And he has a holy God, a just God. And he takes the angels who had rebelled and rejected all that he had done, and he places them into hell. And there they will await the final day of judgment. See, that's what will happen to any man or any woman today. It's no different. They may go through their life, be brilliant academics or phenomenal sportsmen or brilliant musicians. Doesn't really matter. If they die without having come to a personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, they will go to hell. It's not easy to preach like this, but that is the real truth. And that's why we here at Christchurch long to be a loving family, but also a mission church. We want to reach men and women before it's too late. God sent the fallen angels into hell. Let me use the second illustration with you in the next verse, verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but he protected Noah. See? So let's have a look at the second illustration. Because of what happened to the angels and things went from bad to worse, God in his sovereignty came to this decision where God said he was now going to send upon our world a universal flood. It wasn't just for that little area. You see, that's where some of the more liberal interpretations tell us. It was just there. I said no, it wasn't. It was a universal world flood. And God said, friends, God said, I am now going to destroy every man and every woman and every animal and every bird that has ever lived. I'm going to destroy it. I'm now going to send a flood and it's going to come upon the earth. It's going to rain and everything is going to be destroyed. And you know what, dear friends? That's exactly what happened. There was a day and a date when it began to happen. And it came. And it came. And the waters came. And the waters were poured out upon planet Earth. And for 1 year, one man was saved. His name was Noah. For 120 years, God told Noah what to do. He told him to build an ark. He gave him the exact measurements. He told him what to do. He told him how to go about it. He told him everything. And it took him 120 years. And for 120 years, the same years that you and I have today, 120 years, Noah was building the ark. And at the end of those 120 years, when they were over, he had preached his heart out. There wasn't one conversion, not one, in 120 years. The only people who would get into the ark with him were his wife, his three sons, and their wives, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And there they were, eight people. The rest of mankind was destroyed. Why? Because the passage that I read to you in Genesis chapter 6, it tells us that every imagination of the hearts of that world, every imagination, every thought was only evil all the time. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are going to get back to that day. We are nearly there. Many of you may say that. But it happened. It happened. And so God came with such mercy to the one man who was righteous, the one man in the world that could say, it's well with my soul. He had put his faith in God, he loved God, and he followed God, and God enabled him to bring his three boys. And the eight of them were saved, because God knows how to deliver his people. But what happened to the rest? What happened to every other person? They died in the flood. What happened to the angels? God sent the angels into hell. God sent the flood in his righteous anger. But he rescued Noah. The third illustration, and the last one, is Sodom. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and he made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lies of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. The third illustration is also well known to all of us. It happened a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 18 and in Genesis chapter 19. You may remember that that story begins with Abraham. And there was Abraham pleading with God that he would not destroy the righteous with the guilty. And he requested to God that if he could go to Sodom and Gomorrah, if he could go there and only find 10, wouldn't God stop his punishment on Sodom? God said yes. He couldn't find 10. The men and women of Sodom had got into such degrading sin. It was the most horrendous thing that you have read about. So one day those angels came to the home of Lot. And after a period of time when they were there with Lot in his tent, it tells us that the men of Sodom came to that very same door. And the men said to Lot, "Lot, we want you to give us the men who are right now in your home having tea with you. We want you, Lot, to give them to us so that we can have sex with them." That is what happened. And God, a holy, majestic, sovereign, righteous, loving heart, just like what happens with a flood, says that's it. And he sent down sulfur onto Sodom. And the city, because of their dreadful sin and immorality and homosexuality, was destroyed. But he rescued Lot. One man. He rescued Lot. With the flood, he rescued Noah. With Sodom and Gomorrah, he rescued Lot. Friends, we sing that hymn that we sang just now. It's impossible not to find your hair standing on end, overwhelmed by the mercy of God. That's our lot. He didn't deserve it. But he was a righteous man. He was distressed by the filthy lives of those that were around him. And when it came to the final day, Lot was rescued. You came to church today not to hear such a hard sermon. And I share it from the heart for you, my brothers and my sisters, and I share it with a heart of love for you. It's the truth of the precious Word of God. That's the advantage you and I have when you go slowly through the books. You touch on everything. Now, how can we conclude this lot? The first thing that you must remember as you go home this morning, and never forget, is that the Lord knows how to punish the unregenerate. And you know, today they may live how they want to live. They may do what they want to do. They may say what they want to say. And they do it like Uncle Frank said, "I did it my way, that's fine." You can live in your sin. You can live in your immorality. And you may continue to blatantly reject God But you know what, dear friends? There will come a time when people are going to die. There was that cyclist, I'm sure you saw it on the news the other day, doing one of these bike races over there. I think it was in Italy. And in his sleep, had a heart attack and was gone. You know, I say to myself, brilliant cyclist. And I say to myself, where is he gone? I don't know. We are not ever to judge. But was his soul right with God? Had he been born again? Was he able to say it's well with my soul? This passage just brings me back to the real, real, real important matters. When somebody dies, having rejected Christ and lived their own life their own way, when it comes to the end, my precious people, they will go to hell. Deservedly so. But secondly, the Lord knows how to rescue his people. And there was one man, for 120 years they laughed at him, they jeered him, they mocked him. Building a boat in a desert, they mocked him without stopping for 120 years, but he never gave up. He never gave in, he never compromised. He put God first, that's what God wanted him to do, and he did it, and he built it, and he finished it. And at the end of those 120 days, there wasn't one man, besides his three boys and their wives, who said, oh, Noah, I'll go. Not one. But he was faithful. When Sodom was going to be destroyed, there was one man, Lot. And so for you and I who have come to Jesus, and we have trusted in his finished work on the cross, we have been imputed with his righteousness. Our sins are gone. We are righteous before a holy God through the righteousness of Christ. When that role is called up one day, I'll be there. Isn't that wonderful? And we need never fear, because the Lord will always rescue his people. And so as we go this morning, keep your eyes on Jesus. Love him. Trust him. Live every moment of every day in whatever you're doing for Christ. It is well with my soul. But friends, may God help you and me to continually seek by any means to draw in those who up until this point in time have never yet come to Christ. We long for them. Maybe even this morning, if you wouldn't mind me even suggesting it, that you are not sure. You are not sure. You say, hey, Warwick, I don't know. And all I ask you is, please stay. Mike is here, I'm here. We would love to pray with you, just to make sure that when that final day comes, you'll be there. Let's pray together. Just for a moment, it's always good to have just a time of private prayer, just to close your eyes. And friends, is everything all right between you and Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Christ and trusted in what he's done for you on the cross? Or are you still holding him at a distance? I want to invite you, my dear friends, to come. Come. It's urgent. It's critical. As we heard this morning. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. And I found in him a living head. And He has made me glad. Father, thank you for your word this morning. It just brings us right back to reality. And pray that we would not only walk with Jesus, but have a deep longing to help others come to Christ. Thank you that you're a merciful God that will always rescue people. But Lord, we fear that you're also an awesome God who will punish the unregenerate. Amen.